Hallelujah. This morning is a wonderful morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God for the wonderful things He has done. I just want to say a few announcements before we just go more into the word. I just want to make sure that you guys will have noticed that there are some benches that have been tied to the rope. That is just because we want to make sure that we alternate with the rows. So make sure you don't sit in the rows where the ropes are. They're put there for a reason. Families, you can sit in benches together. If you're not in the same bubble or social bubble, we request that maximum three people sit together. But if you are a family, you can fill up the whole row. No problem. Okay, so it's up to you. But then just these things that we have to respect, because this is, these are the rules and stipulations that are given to us. Another thing is, right before our church service gets over, we will be passing out certain sanitizers, just sanitized tissue. Just wipe if you're the wooden parts of the place that you were sitting, just wipe it. And this is just to make it easier so that we can walk out. When we are going out of church, we kindly request that people don't congregate within the church hall once the service is over. Make your way kindly outside and we can meet and greet each other there. So, sorry for the announcements, but I know that it takes away from the atmosphere, but these things are just the executive technical things that need to be said. But we know that God's presence is here this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. God is already moving. I can believe, I'm so excited that we are gathered together, because, you know, when we come together in His name, there is certain fellowship and there is a certain anointing that comes together when we are in the same physical presence. This is not to put the people who have joined us online down. I know that some of you can't join us and some of you are not in a place to join us yet, and that's okay. I believe that the presence of God will envelop you even as you're seated at your places online. But I believe there is a certain joy that comes from fellowshipping with one another in person. Hallelujah. This psalm that we read this morning is about praising the Lord. Hallelujah. The word hallelujah, I said this before. Once before when I was preaching from the Psalms, I said Hallel Psalms, the Egyptian Hallel Psalms. These Psalms in the end of Psalms are also called Hallel Psalms. But these Psalms are about Hallelujah. They are again the same things. What is Hallelujah? Hallel means praise. Yah is the short form of Yahweh. So Hallelujah means a praise Yahweh or praise Yah or praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When we keep saying praise the Lord, we are saying Hallelujah. It is just reaffirming that God is worthy to be praised. This Psalm 150, 150 Sangeetanam, andinte thodakkathilum andinte avasanathilum, the opening and the ending is the same word, praise the Lord, or in Hebrew, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a series of psalms from Psalm 148 to Psalm 150. 148 Sangeetanam, modal 150 Sangeetanam. All three of these psalms are psalms of praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's about declaring the praise to God. God alone is worthy of all praise. God alone is worthy of all honor. You see, one of the tricky things about worship is that our minds are not to be focused on the people who play the instruments. Our mind is not to be focused on the people who are singing. Our mind is not to be focused on who's sitting to the right or to the left of us. When we are singing praises to God, we are singing praises to our God. Our minds are to be focused on who is worthy of worship. Amen. Hallelujah. He alone is worthy of worship. Now, there are certain people who might be skilled. There might be certain people who are talented, who might be gifted. But our praise to God is not dependent on their skill. Our praise to God is not dependent on their talent. Our praise to God is dependent on His greatness. It is dependent on the greatness of God. So He is worthy to be praised all the time because His greatness never reduces. His greatness never dips. When we read Psalm 148, it's talking about the heavens praising God. Psalm 149 is talking about the saints praising God. Psalm 150, the last psalm of the Psalter, is ending with everything that has breath. Praise the Lord. When we start reading the psalm, it starts with Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, on which he meditates day and night. So this psalm, it is starting on meditating on God. Throughout the psalm series, the 150 different psalms, you sing songs of praise, songs of lament, songs of hope, songs of deliverance, different psalms that we go. But in every single thing, the theme that needs to be kept in mind is praise the Lord. You see, it doesn't matter if you're going through a season of lament. It doesn't matter if you're going through a season of hope. For some people, it is easier to praise the Lord when they're in good times. For some people, it is easy to praise the Lord when it is bad times. Let me explain. There are certain people who go through certain circumstances, and it's only in their difficulty that they remember, God, save me, and then they turn to God, and God, you are worthy of praise. You are able to save me, so save me. But when good seasons come, they tend to forget God. They tend to forget that God is worthy of praise during that season. There are some people who go through seasons of joy. In seasons when everything is going comfortable according to their way and how they enjoy their life, it is easy for them to say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can know this after the meeting is over. Certain brothers will come and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And they come and shake their hand itself. You know, they had a good day. They had a really good week. Some people, the way that they shake their hands, like, praise the Lord, brother. When you hear that sigh after it itself, you know that they had a tough week. But still they're saying, praise the Lord, brother. But you see, certain people, it takes them going through difficulty to praise God. Some people praise God in their good times. But regardless, we have to remember, God is worthy of praise all the time. So let us look at this psalm. This psalm, I'm not going to divide into different portions. I just want us to pay attention to each verse. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. So the word praise Him. Praise God, praise Him in His mighty expanse. The word praise Him in Hebrew is called Halehu. Okay? Halehu. Now we don't say Halehu. Halehu in Hebrew means praise Him. And this word is repeated 9 times in the psalm. Halehu, 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 halehu. It means praise Him. And He is worthy of praise. Why should we praise God in His sanctuary? This word, praise God in His sanctuary, the word there is not actually sanctuary. In Hebrew, the word is called kabod, which is in His holiness, which is where God resides. Where does God dwell? In holiness. Vishuddhiyilana nammada devam jeevikkunnathu. God dwells in holiness. We cannot approach God because He is all holy. God says, if you see me with your naked eye, you shall die. Because He is too holy. What does this word holy mean? Holy means nothing is like it. We say, holy, 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 our Lord God Almighty. But we don't understand what the word holy means. Vishuddhi ennu paranjal endana adinte meaning. What is the meaning of the word Vishuddhi? When we think of Vishuddhi, when we think of holiness, what do we think? A man with white shirt, white pant, white belt, white tie, white shoes. That is how my father looked on his wedding day. It was, everything was white. I still have pictures of that. He had white suit, white shirt, white tie, white belt, white pant. I don't know if he had white shoes, but in India it is hard to keep white shoes white. But he had everything white, and you think that is holiness. In my young days, I used to go to listen to a man of God preach. His name is Captain Samuel. Maybe some of you know him. He is a very good preacher, and is a preacher of holiness. But whenever he preaches, he always wear white. He is a man who always wore white. Now we think white. Why do we consider that as holy? Because there is nothing else like it. You take anything that is white and you put it on the closet, on a hanger, and just leave it there for a year. You don't even wear it. You go back to the closet and you take that white shirt, that shirt will no longer be that white. It is hard to keep white things white. The only way to keep things white is to make sure you wash it in Tide. Okay? Ujala doesn't work. Because white will no longer be white if you wash with Ujala. Okay? It turns blue or violet or a different color of pink. If you don't know what Ujala is, thank God. You know? Because that thing never worked. But this thing that we clean, you use Tide to clean it, or you use bleach to clean it. The reason why I'm bringing this up is in Revelation, John, when he sees the vision, he sees a huge crowd clothed in white. All clothed in white, from different races, from different regions, from different cultures. And then an elder comes up to John and says, "Do you know who these people are?" John says, "I don't know. Who are they?" "These are the saints who wash themselves in the blood of the Lamb, and they are not worthy to walk with him because their garments are white." To the church in Smyrna, God says, "To him who keeps his garment without blemish and white, he is worthy to walk with me." In Isaiah, it is written, "Even though your sins be like scarlet, I will turn it as white as wool. Even though your sins be as crimson, I will turn it as white as snow." Have you seen how snow is? It's a white that is different from the white that we see. It is a Telangana white. It is a shining white. It's a spectacular white. That same brightness should come off when we are in holiness. Where in the New Testament do you see this kind of white? It is on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John go up the Mount of Transfiguration. And as they climb it, it is believed to be Mount Hermon in Israel. So they climb on the mount. And then Luke says that Jesus' garment turned as white as thunder. Have you seen thunder? In these storms, these last few days, sometimes we see the thunder that came. There was not much rain, but we saw the lightning and the thunder. So, my mistake, it's not thunder. You can't be dressed as thunder, you're dressed as lightning. Okay, it was dazzling as lightning. So, if you have seen lightning, you know how white the light is. Even though it is so dark and you cannot see anything, the minute the lightning strikes, it turns as bright as day. It is like as if the sun has appeared. That same white light that you see is the dazzling radiance of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. That is what holiness is. Holiness is not about wearing white clothes. Holiness is there is nothing like it. Adupole vere uru sambhavam illa. There is nothing that is like it. We can say tejas or mahatvam, glory, the radiance. We can say these things, but what are we trying to explain? There is nothing like it. There is no word in the English language that captures what holiness means because there is nothing like it. So when God says, praise God in his sanctuary, we are saying praise God in his holiness means praise God because there is nothing like him. That is the meaning of holiness. If ever now anyone asks you, what does holiness mean? There is nothing like it. There is nothing like it. That's the only way I can explain what holiness is. He is perfect. There is nothing like it. He is holy. He is all in one. He is above all. There is nothing like it. Praise him in his mighty expanse. Hallelu in his mighty expanse. What does this expanse mean? In Genesis chapter 1 verse 6, God created the firmament. The sky as a separation. And in Hebrew, it is called Shabama, or the heavens, the highs, the firmament. Here, it is saying, praise him in his mighty expanse. Means that he is in his holiness. Praise him in the heavens he created. Now, every piece that is going to come forth is going to be talking about the creation of what God has done. Even the heavens was created by God. He is worthy of praise. Verse 2, praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. What God has done. From the beginning of time, he is worthy of praise. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Adiyil devam agashavum pumiyum srishtichu. He is worthy of praise just at the first verse. When we look in science today, oftentimes the question comes, who is the creator? In physics, there is a law which talks that matter can neither be created nor destroyed. So all things that we see around us is matter. It could not be created. According to physics, they say it cannot be created. So at one point, everything in this universe that is made up of matter should have been in existence. And they say that all of the universe is moving further and further and further away from itself. It's called the Doppler effect. So by studying the radio waves that were coming, they realized that the universe seems to be expanding. So it must have come, and they put it back, and there must have been an original part where everything started. So scientist theorists who are concerned with the theory of origin says that you can extrapolate all of that matter back to one single origin point. That thing is called the Big Bang. The Big Bang theory. And this matter that existed was so small, and all atoms and matter was consolidated together in one dense spot. So dense it was that it exploded because it could not keep itself together. And all things we see in the world was created from that Big Bang. That's a theory. It is not proved. You cannot prove it. But it's a theory, a very plausible theory that most scientists concerned with the theory of origin concern themselves with. When these questions come, they often ask us as Christians, they're like, do you believe in creation? And we say, of course. And they say, who do you think created all things? We say, God. They're like, okay, who created God? We're like, nobody created God. God existed. From the beginning of time, he existed. They're like, see, everything has to have a beginning. So who created God? And they cannot understand that God could have existed in all of time. But these same people, they have no problem in figuring out that matter always existed. Who created the matter in the first place? How did the matter come all concerned together in one ball? How was it originated from that spot? They don't know how to explain that. But the minute we say God existed before matter, oh no, now it's a big problem. Praise God, because in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He said, let there be light, there was light. God is the one who created matter. Science cannot understand and explain all things. Our problem is, we are trying to make the Bible fit into science. Let me tell you that science is uncovering only now the truth that is already revealed in scriptures. One thing that is proved 10 years ago is being disproved tomorrow. And then science is constantly questioning what began and what are the theories are constantly changing. You know what's been the same forever? Yesterday, today, and forever? God's word. It has remained unchanged. So when we say praise God for his mighty deeds, in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth, he is worthy of praise. The beginning of the Bible opens up with worship. The book of Job says that when God placed the foundations of the earth, the morning stars praised with joy. Who are the morning stars? They are the angels. So even before the earth was created, the book of Job reveals that the angels were already created and they were worshiping God. In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. Even before the earth was created, God had his angels in place and they were already worshiping him. This is the thing about God. From the beginning of time to the end of time, there is one place that will never be quiet. It is the presence of God. Angels are worshiping him 24/7, day and night, night and day. They are worshiping him, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Which means, there is no one like you, there is no one like you, there is no one like you. Almighty God who is creator of all things. There is no one like you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That worship is going 24/7 in the presence of God. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. I believe when we worship him, and all children of God worshiping him in different places around the world, all over Sunday morning, there are people worshiping. Down the street, there are people worshiping him. Across the country in America, there are people worshiping him. There are people worshiping everywhere in the globe. We are all being ushered into the throne room of God where the angels are singing worship. So we are joining with the heavenly choir and saying, Majesty, worship his majesty, glory. Gloryful he is. He is the Savior. He can move the mountains. We are joining with a global choir of saints and saying God is worthy of praise. So we are joining together not because it's just us here. Those people who are online, we who are here, and all the saints around the world are being ushered into the same throne room of God where the angels have not stopped worshiping him from the very beginning of time. And will never stop worshiping him until the end of time. Hallelujah. Worship and praise is going on 24/7. And we get the privilege of joining that heavenly choir. Now the next few verses 3, 4, and 5, are talking about worshiping him with different instruments. Worship him with trumpet sound. The trumpet there is shofar. Praise him with harp and lyre. They are both stringed instruments. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. What it's saying is, use everything you can to praise God. And praising God is a joyful occurrence. When do you play instruments? When you're happy. When do you use cymbals, pipes, stringed instruments? When do you use all these instruments? You're usually making sound because it's in celebration. Use this. I attended a church in Newmarket. I don't remember the name. It was a Pentecostal church. And it was in Aurora. So when I went to that church, I was standing there. It's a group of white people just worshiping God. And they were worshiping in tongues. Huh? They were excited. They were just worshiping in tongues. And I was just there. Oh, wow. Praise God. Worship. Hallelujah. And then right behind me, a bird. Ooh! And I was like, what just happened? Kaalam Udiyam. I was like, did the trumpet just blow? I look behind me. One man who's holding a huge horn's ram is blowing. It is not in pitch. It is not in scale. All of the instruments are in front playing. This trumpet is not in pitch. It's just like, whoo, just a big loud sound right behind me. I literally jumped because I was like, what just happened? I look back. This guy was blowing this ram's horn. What is this? The shofar. So he's blowing this ram's horn as a shofar. These are used for two occasions. One is to signal war. The second war is in celebration. In the time of the Israelites, there was a third use. It was time to move camp. Get ready to move. When the trumpet sounds of the archangel, children of God, get ready to move. There will be praise in trumpet in heaven. This shofar is so loud, it scared my life. But if that sound sounds for all of the world to hear, trust me, there is no way that you would have missed that sound as children of God. We will hear the trumpet, amen, and we will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye, and we will behold him face to face in the clouds. Hallelujah. I'm going to end with verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The word of God wants us to praise him. He is worthy of praise. You know, in English we sing a song. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. You know what the word breath, vayu, air, this word. The Israelites back then used to think, the rabbis used to say, that the sound of the breath is like almost like saying, Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh. So literally, every time you breathe, you're literally praising God. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Since the pandemic, this word, let everything that has breath, has brought new life and new meaning. Our breath is precious. God breathed his breath into a clay, piece of mud, and it became a living soul. It is his breath that makes us breathe. It is his breath that keeps us alive. If not for his breath, we do not exist. That is why Jesus, when he died, he said, into your hands I give my spirit. But the word spirit there is breath. Into your hands I give my breath. And he, what his last? He breathed his last. One day is coming. Either we will meet him face to face. We who are alive will see him. Or those who gave up their breath and are asleep in him will meet him face to face. We don't know what, where, or who we will be. Or one thing, let's make sure. As long as God has given us breath in our lungs, we will praise God. David says, what profit is it to you if I go down to Sheol? If I die, what profit is it to you? But if I have breath, I will praise you. God has given us breath to accomplish his work on earth. But let us praise him with every breath. In Malayalam, I'll end with this song. Devasneham varnichidan vakugal pora nanni cholli teerkuvanin jeevidam pora nanni cholli teerkuvanin jeevidam pora. We cannot with our entire lifetime give enough thanks to praise God. Even if I was a baby born from my mother's womb, until the day I died, I just kept saying, stotram, 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 and I did nothing else. It will still not be enough. Thanks for my God. So we owe him our entire life and our entire being to praise God.